Welcome to the Story Story Night podcast. I'm your host, Jessica Holmes. Tonight, January 31st at 7 p.m., Story Story Night presents Hooked, Stories of Cravings and Compulsions, with three featured storytellers followed by an open story slam. To preview tonight's theme, today we bring you a podcast-exclusive story from writer Charmaine Westcott, who shares the confessions and conclusions of a diehard nicotine addict.
I hate smoking, the smell of it mostly, but also the cancer part. However, if it were socially acceptable to walk around with a portable IV bag, I would have large amounts of nicotine pumped directly into my veins 24 hours a day. I don't smoke anymore, but I have found a way to continue my nicotine consumption. And as much as I hate being dependent on it, I haven't made any recent efforts to stop. I started smoking cloves in the 80s. They leave a sweet taste on your lips, and they make you feel lightheaded. I quit after a story broke where a teenager died because his lungs were bleeding. Most of my friends stopped then, too. But my friend Darcy and I needed a replacement. We needed something to hold on to and puff while we had our deep philosophical conversations about the meaning of life. So we made a conscious decision to start smoking cigarettes. A conscious decision. I remember the store we went to buy our first pack. They did an ID. We chose more menthols because they looked the most like cloves and they tasted minty. We were only going to smoke for a little while. You can tell teenagers that smoking is dangerous, that they'll become addicted and regret the day that they started smoking, but they won't listen because there are people out there that do quit. And if some people can quit, then they can quit. Teenagers don't understand what addiction is because they have never been addicted. What was really confusing for me back then were those people that just smoke every once in a while. How can cigarettes be addicting if some people can just smoke every once in a while? It must be some personality flaw that causes people to be addicted. And I do not have a personality flaw. It wasn't long after I had started smoking that I began to hate smoking. I especially hated smelling like smoke. I would go home on my lunch hour, and I would smoke in my backyard with a hooded sweatshirt and sweats over my pants. I would be outside in 100-degree weather in California, smoking in a sweatsuit, and I thought this would make me not smell like smoke. At some point, I read an article on the different success rates for various types of smoking cessation methods. Nicotine patches had like a 50% success rate. The gum had like a 30% success rate. Antidepressants had like a 60% success rate. I came to the conclusion that if I used all of these methods at the same time, my success rate would be way over 100%. So that's exactly what I did. I wore two patches, chewed the gum, and took Wellbutrin, and it was easy. I had no desire to smoke. I was in a good mood, and I had a lot of energy. It really did work, and I was able to slowly wean myself off of all of these things, and I quit. I quit for about 2 years. Then my dog was hit by a car. I can remember all the times I started smoking again. When my dog died, when my mother died, in a bar. When I broke up with my boyfriend, in a bar. When I had a fight with my new boyfriend, in a bar, in a bar, in a bar, in a bar. Quitting was easy in California because the temptation wasn't there. In 1994, California had a smoking ban. You weren't able to smoke anywhere. I was mad about the ban at first. I remember being at my favorite brewery in San Luis Obispo, and it was raining outside, so you couldn't go outside to smoke. The only place to smoke was in a stairwell in the back of the bar. There were about 20 people crammed into that stairwell, and everyone who walked out of there got a dirty look. I remember looking down and seeing all the people crammed together in the dark with a cloud of stinky smoke and thinking, this is really sad, as I squeezed myself into a corner and sat down to light up a cigarette. After I'd quit smoking and I went back to that same bar in San Luis Obispo, and the only place to smoke was in a stairwell with a bunch of stinky, scary-looking biker people, it was easy to keep on drinking my beer without a cigarette. When I moved to Idaho in 2000, it was a different story. I was freaked out when I was asked if I wanted smoking or non-smoking. It can't be a choice. Don't give me a choice. It was like going back in time. So I started chewing nicotine gum to help with the cravings. 9 years later, my addiction to nicotine gum sent me into debt. I was a chain chewer, and at about $50 a box, that's a very expensive habit. I joined Costco just so I could buy the gum in bulk. I would figure out how much gum I needed for the week, then I would see if I had enough money left over to buy food. I went back to smoking when my student loans came due. Then I found the e-cigarette. An e-cigarette, or electronic cigarette, is a battery-powered device that provides nicotine in vapor form. Basically, you suck on it and it gives you a jolt of nicotine without all the carcinogens of tobacco. It doesn't set off smoke alarms and it doesn't smell at all. And if you take a drag like you're smoking a joint and hold it in for a long time, no smoke will come out. I discovered this on a plane to Vegas with a fat man sleeping next to me. The problem with the e-cigarette is that nobody knows what it is. So they either think I'm smoking or they think I'm trying to quit. Like there's only two choices. People ask me if it's working, and I think, yes, it's working. I'm getting the nicotine my body needs to sustain itself. What they really mean is it helping me to quit? Yes, it's helping me to quit smoking cigarettes. I haven't had a desire to smoke a cigarette since I started smoking the e-cigarette. But smoking's not the problem. It's never been the problem. Nicotine is the problem. Actually, the real problem is that I'm not trying to quit. The people that say that it's the habit and not the nicotine are full of crap. If it were the habit, people could just pretend to be smoking with a stick or something, and they would be satisfied. It's not the habit, it's the drug. My body is accustomed to receiving a constant flow of nicotine. This is the chemical my body uses to soothe itself. This is the chemical my body demands whenever I experience stress. Coffee wakes me up and nicotine calms me down. For the past 25 years, my internal chemistry has become conditioned to the point where it no longer can sustain itself without nicotine, and I hate being dependent on it. Being drug dependent, which is what I am, there's actually a diagnosis for it in the Diagnostical Statistical Manual of Mental Health Disorders, means that a large part of my life is focused on how to get my nicotine. I bring my e-cigarette with me everywhere, and I'm constantly figuring out a way to get my next hit. I'm too self-conscious to smoke it in public because I don't want people to see me as a smoker. So I hide it. I smoke in the bathroom, in dark corners. And sometimes I pretend that I dropped something so I can blow the vapor out under a table. When they banned smoking in most of the jails and prisons, I had to be extra careful not to break any laws. That's hard. And I don't know if anyone else has ever thought about what they would do if there were some sort of apocalypse or worldwide breakout of a rabies-like disease that turns everyone into zombies, but I do, because I've thought about it. And I know that there's no way I would be able to fight zombies while going through nicotine withdrawals. So my first goal wouldn't be to see if my friends or family were still alive. It would be to find a source of nicotine. Smoking wouldn't be practicable in a zombie war, so I couldn't just break into a Maverick. I would have to find a store with a pharmacy so I could fill a backpack with nicotine gum and patches, and maybe a little bit of food and water. This is what it's like to be dependent on something. Here's the problem, the real problem. It is very unlikely that I'll ever be put in a situation where I have to fight zombies. I am addicted to nicotine. This is my personality flaw. One of them, anyway. And with the e-cigarette, I found a way to play with fire without getting burned.
Hear more Hooked stories tonight at the Linen Building and on future podcasts in February. Story Story Night is also now accepting featured storyteller submissions for our February theme, Star-Crossed Love, Stories of Fated Attractions. It's easy to enter your story for consideration. Simply email a short summary to storystorynight@live.com by February 7th. Find all the event and submission details at storystorynight.org. Thanks for listening. Story Story Night is brought to you by presenting partner, the Boise State Story Initiative, venue partner, the Linen Building, design partner, Neighborhood All-Stars, and our broadcast partner, Boise State Public Radio. Please donate now at radio.boisestate.edu. Our Story Story Night theme is by Dan Costello. Hear more at hearcostello.com. Please join us next week for the first installment of Hook Stories from our January 31st event. Learn more at storystorynight.org.